UCB Ireland. More than just words. More than just music.
So guys, welcome to the show. I am delighted that Brian Kelly is with me on Life Today to have a Mind Matters chat with me. So Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's great to be here.
It's so good to have you. So we're talking about anger, and allow me for a minute to tell you a story.
Okay.
Which will set up the rest of our conversation together. So on Friday night, I went to one of our local DIY stores that shall remain nameless, I think, for the purpose of this conversation. I went to one of our local DIY stores to purchase some paint. I have decided that I wanted to relocate my office to the house, and I've got ADHD, and so I get hyper-focused. And so when I'm ready to do something, I'm ready to do something, and it's the most important thing in the world, and everyone else just needs to get into line with what my plan is, what my time frame is. It just needs to happen. It's just because once the hyper-focus goes, that's it. The job is gone for the next 12 months. And so Friday night, like most stores around the island, I'm in my head, I'm thinking it's late night shopping, 9 o'clock, because that's the norm. So I arrive at this DIY store that shall remain nameless at about, I think I looked, it was 6:56. And I walked to the door, and there was a man standing at the door with a keychain and keys. He said, "Sorry, we're closed." Now I took a big deep breath. I was a little bit shocked because in my head, I had at least 2 hours of browsing if I had have wanted to have that 2 hours of browsing. And okay. So I kind of caught their opening times out of the corner of my eye, and I noticed that it said that they were open until 7. Now, bear in mind, right now it's approximately 6:57. And so I said, "Well, the sign says you're actually open until 7. To which he said, "You're not getting in." To which I said, "Come on, as clear as that." To which I then responded, "Come on, I'm covered in paint. I need one tin of paint. I can see it from here. I will be in and out in less than a minute. You're not getting in. We're closed."
Okay.
I took a big deep breath. I walked away and I said,
"Yeah."
Now, I got to be honest with you. In that moment, Brian, I was not, and I promise you, I was not singing the blessing over his life. I was not praying for his generations and his children's children and his children's children and his children's children to be experiencing the favor of God. I was so cross. I got into the car red-faced and angry. I got home and I opened the front door and I walked into the house, and my wife, God bless her, got all of the anger and the frustration, not directed at her, just I needed to tell somebody what had just happened. And so I couldn't let it settle. At one point, I had my phone out to write a post on Facebook. I was going to expose the shop that shall remain nameless to the whole world about how poorly they had treated me as a customer who would frequent their store regularly enough. I'm not going to say that I'm their best customer, but I do spend, you know, money there, and I'm certainly there more often than probably some people would be. And I just couldn't let it go. It wrestled. It impacted my sleep. It filtered into my Saturday. On Saturday morning, when I knew they were open, I made sure that my watch was charged. I went to the shop, and being the idiot that I am, I decided to time myself to see how long it would take me to get the said tin of paint. Brian, okay. 45 Hello. Seconds.
To pay and all.
45 seconds to get to the paint, to get to the till, to pay. 45 seconds, which just fed into my anger even more. I was furious. I was like, I could have had this job finished last night, and now it's filling into my Saturday, and half of my Saturday's gone. And la, 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 la,
okay.
So, Brian,
did it make you feel better?
Did it make me feel better, or did that rant just make me feel better?
No, either. Did any of it make you feel better?
Do you know what? I felt justified for a while. I really did. I felt justified in my anger and in my wrath, and I just thought he was buying out of order. Their sign says 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was not 7 o'clock. And I could have been in and out before 7 o'clock.
Okay.
So I was like, I was gunning for his life.
Okay.
The guillotine was out. And if I could have put his head on it, I would have
That's fine. He
chopped
would
it
breathe again.
off. And so, Brian, that is just like a little snippet of my life.
Okay.
But the reality of it is that I got so angry so quickly. And I'm
Right.
sure for a lot of our listeners today, there are moments in their life that they have found themselves in similar situations where they get so angry in an instant that the overflow of that anger actually has a serious impact on those around them. Now, thankfully, the manager didn't get the punch in the face that he, in my head, could have had. I'm a
Yeah.
pastor. There's no way. You know what I mean? We're to turn the
Not
other
good.
cheek, all
Not good
that
for
crack,
public
right?
relations. It's not good for public relations to see pastor
Absolutely
punching
not.
out
Come to
manager of
our
someone.
church. Oh, he's the church. He's the pastor that punches people in the face. It's not
Yes.
going to work, is it, for the kingdom? But so for our listeners, no doubt there's a lot of people on the air today, listening on air today, who are experiencing similar types of things. And so I'm going round the world to tell a long story to get an answer from you. What do we do when we're angry?
Okay. Can I ask you a question before we go there, just
Yeah.
for a second? Like, the classic answer to that is just breathe. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Like, get yourself back into the reality of where you're at. And we can do all that in a minute. But what was the biggest, because here's the bit where I believe anger is your response, okay? It's not your experience. It's what you're responding to the experience with, okay? But before you felt angry, you felt something else.
Yeah.
Was it disappointment,
Yeah, that's
betrayal?
exactly what it was.
Like,
Yeah.
it was disappointment.
Yeah.
And what was your disappointment with that your plan didn't work?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had an expectation
Okay.
that wasn't met.
Okay. By somebody else.
Yeah.
All right. So, a couple of, I suppose there's a few bits in that, Tim. It's like part of it is about where do you go with your. Which are expectations, how realistic are they, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying yours wasn't realistic,
No, I
sorry.
hear you. Yeah, of course.
Okay. But like if we're talking in a more general, broader context, but we'll stick with your example for a minute. Anger is always the way we respond to whatever hurt we've experienced. Rather than someone says, I got angry and I just got, they said this and I was angry. They weren't. They were either hurt, they were embarrassed, they were. And anger is a learned behavior of how to deal with that. And the reason we get angry is because we think, particularly if you're having a little rant at somebody, that that's going to get your way. It's basically like a child trying to strop or sulking. Now, this is going to go down real well. People are going to hate me for this one.
That's
But
okay.
that's
We need the
basically,
truth.
but that's what we're doing, though. Like, if I get angry in a situation, now I have used anger in shops on purpose. I have even feigned anger. Do you know what I mean? I've like pretended to be angry because I knew if I got to a certain level, they would then go, oh, okay, just show him up and get him sorted out. Do you know that kind of way? Where if I had stayed polite, I wasn't going to get anywhere. I don't actually know how Christian that is or not. That's probably more manipulative. But the reality of it works in certain situations. People who come from backgrounds or family situations where anger was the way they dealt with stuff, it's a learned behavior. Now, the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. Okay, so let's take your example for a minute. You were angry, justifiably or not, but did you sin? Well, you didn't punch a man out. That's a good start. Okay, but you allowed it to consume you, as you said, for a long time afterwards.
I would approximately, I would say, a good 36 hours.
Okay, what was the thing that actually stopped it for you? Because you sat in it, you wallowed in it, for want of a better word, you played the tape over in your head a million times and then had an extra tape to go, I did it in 45 seconds, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Like, so you had that to go with it. What was the thing that actually 36 hours later, when you went, I'm okay now? What was the defining moment? What was the change in your thinking?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. The first thing was that I got the job finished,
Okay.
was a big one. So it was
Okay.
no longer, it didn't matter anymore.
Okay.
Because I had got the paint and I had finished the job. The room that
Yeah.
I was decorating was now complete. And I
Okay.
had been dreaming about having that room decorated for about 6 months.
Okay.
So that
All
was
right.
a 6 month journey. So it was huge for me. My son has had has been living in the UK for about 9 months, and we asked him if we could turn his bedroom into an office and a wardrobe.
Okay.
First world problems.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
okay.
how blessed am I? You
Yeah.
know, I've gone from being homeless to now having my own walk-in wardrobe, which is a
Well,
room.
praise the Lord for that.
Exactly, praise the Lord. But so once I had got that finished, that took a breath. And then once that was finished and I was able to celebrate all that I had, and I take a moment to celebrate what God had done in my life, I was able then to reflect on the person's response to me in the store on Friday. And the reality of it is that that guy probably had a long week. He could have had the day from hell dealing with difficult customers all day. He could have had a child that he needed to go and collect. He could have had a wife that could have been waiting on him, you know, in Asda with their shopping. He could have had a pre-arranged. And and as much as I'm standing in front of him saying I'm only going to be 1 minute, the reality of it is that I could have taken 10, and he could have been burnt before and
Playing
let
a little
someone
bit
in,
after.
which then caused conflict, and maybe for his team, and maybe he was trying to protect his team to get them out on time. So there was a whole myriad of thoughts that once I was in a position to be able to think about those thoughts, that I was like, Tim, you're just an idiot. Your job's done. Wise up.
So there was something in it about, well, again, there's layers upon layers in that, isn't
Yeah, of course, yeah.
it? There's something in there about your dream being realized,
Yep.
okay? So the minor infractions on the way to the dream are now not important because the dream is fixed,
Yeah.
okay? There's also the realization that the world doesn't just revolve around you, and
Yeah.
that other man had situations
Ouch.
going on for him too. Yeah, I know.
Ouch.
And listen, anytime I'm pointing a finger at you, I'm pointing three back out.
I
So
know.
don't be in any way thinking I'm judging here at all.
I know.
I'm very
I
petty
know.
this myself.
I know.
But there's also that space there too where you went straight into fight or flight because what you wanted wasn't happening. The control that you thought you had in your life was now suddenly taken away. And that loss of control, that sense of loss of control, is massive for all of us. And if we have a plan, it's like when you go, why do people have road rage? Because traffic's not going the way they want it to go. Whether it should be going the way they want it to go or not is immaterial. In their head, everybody should be going along and they shouldn't be cutting me off or they shouldn't be doing this or there shouldn't be stupid people on the road or whatever it is that they're thinking that leads them then to a place. Because we say we hit anger like bang. You say something that I'm angry straight away, but there's processes in there before I'm angry. They're milliseconds, but they're there. There's an event somewhere when that event happens, somewhere deep inside of me, I have a perception of that event and I make a judgment on it. Is this good or bad? Okay. And in the middle of all of this stuff, there's talking going on inside of my brain that I'm probably not even aware of, but it's happening. If I decide the thing is good, then that will bring me down one pathway that I'm going to. Now, if that man had said to you, I'm close to seven, you've 3 minutes, you would have gone, no problem, I'll be in and out in a minute. And you'd have been gone. You might not have been, but that's what you would have been thinking. So then the perception would have been 7 o'clock closing, it's not interested. What time they closed, that wasn't what was important. What was important was you weren't getting what you wanted. Is that fair enough?
Yeah,
Again,
absolutely.
that's
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
reality.
yeah.
Okay. So that perception is this is bad. So how do I deal with stuff that's bad? We fall into patterns of behavior that we've always used to deal with stuff that's bad. So anger is obviously a pattern of behavior that worked for you in the past somewhere. When things were bad, being angry got you what you wanted. So you fall into that pattern and you go like, meh! And then you still don't get what you want. And then you go home, go, ah, I didn't even get what I want. That's even worse then. Because now my normal pattern of behavior didn't get me the results that it used to get me in different situations. So now I have to sit with that, as in your case, for quite a while. Till you got something else which helped you feel good enough to be able to put the anger and the displaced anger even into a kind of a context that made sense of it, or at least minimize the impact of it. Sorry, that was a lot of waffle. I'm not even sure if I'm making
No,
sense,
you're
but
making perfect sense. I'm with you 100%. And the reality is that you're this idea of anger being a pattern that worked in the past. I think that for a lot of that, it was internalized, and then it explodes, is probably the way to say it. So the man at the shop wouldn't have known that I was angry,
No.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, you just
The
walked up to
people
it.
that saw me walking away from the shop
Yeah.
would have known that I was angry
And I
because
bet
it was
when you got
that
home, everyone knew.
process. Pardon?
I said, I bet when you got home, everyone knew you were angry.
I nearly took the door off the hinges when I came into
And I
the
would imagine driving from that place to your home was probably not the calmest drive you've ever had in your life either.
No, I've definitely say that. I don't think I was driving erratically, but my inner conflict was,
Huge.
yeah, very much so. And I suppose it leads me into the question, what do we do when we're angry at God?
Okay.
Because for a lot of us today, we can understand that we have anger in this life, and we have anger at people. We have anger at places. We have anger at experiences. But also, then we're angry with God. I found myself in my own life, certainly not recently, but certainly there have been times when I have been really cross with God. I
Yeah.
remember when my dad announced to the world that he was transgender. I was very cross with God.
Yeah.
I was very cross with the world. I was very cross that I had been robbed of a dad, and I was blaming God for allowing it to happen. And so I want to ask you the question, not necessarily about that particular instance, because there are so many. That's a very unique one. But for other people, their experiences could be the loss of a loved one,
Yeah.
could be sickness, could be grieving any a myriad of things. How
Loss of a
do we
job.
address that in this life?
I think whenever we got saved, we were probably a few years saved, and we weren't really very good with finances. We had been, I wouldn't say rich, but we had been very comfortable several times in our life, and we'd been broke several times in our life. Do you know the kind of way we'd been on the roller coaster?
Up and down.
And then whenever we got saved, we were kind of okay when we got saved. But we're in a very short period of time of actually committing our lives to the Lord and trying to follow Him. The whole world just fell apart for us financially. Like literally, we ended up living back in my mother-in-law's. We wouldn't have a bean from one end of the week to another. It was just horrendous. And I remember at the time people going, God's just trying to teach you about money. And I was going, well, he'd want to bloody give me something to practice with, because it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's crap. Like, not happening.
Brilliant.
Okay, so but I was anyway, sorry, I don't digress. This is all part of the anger bit. I got to a stage where we got to a stage one morning where we literally had no food, no rent, no nothing. And I ended up in a pawn shop hocking my wedding ring to get food. Okay. Now I'm a Christian. I am genuinely doing my best to follow God. I have two small kids. I'm reading all these wonderful scriptures where God, you never see God's children begging for bread and all that. And I'm thinking, well, that's rubbish. So there's all of that, like the promises of God. Yeah, they must be for other people. They're not for me. They're not, do you know all that kind of stuff? When I used to be able to go out and like swindle and hook and do whatever you know what I mean? Like I was grand. But you try doing this honest crack and it's like, so there was a little bit of, there probably still is a little bit of frustration there with God, like trying to do things your way here. So why isn't it happening? So like anybody does in that situation, I rang my pastor and gave out to him. So fortunately, he decided he was free and he couldn't meet me that afternoon. And we walked the park and talked and walked the park and talked and walked the park and talked. And I just vented, vented, vented. I said, I'm trying this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And like God's continuously letting us down. And I think all he did, first off, he let me vent, which was really useful. But secondly, he also kind of went, as soon as I had kind of finished venting and got myself a little bit calmed down, Then he was able to go, let's put some perspective on this, Brian. Have you asked anybody in the church for help? And I was like, no, but they should know. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Do you know this kind of way? He said, if you'd have called me, you wouldn't have to go to a pawn shop. I would have gave you the money for food. Like, you wouldn't. But it was your pride that was stopping you. Ouch. Okay. So there was a big chunk of that in there too. So I'm just saying, my response to my pride being hurt was anger at God. Because that was the biggest thing that was wrong with me going into that pawn shop, was my pride. It wasn't that I lost my wedding ring, which I never got back. But it was the pride bit. It was like, look at the state of me that I can't even provide. Does that make sense? So my response to it was anger. My response growing up had been either internalized anger at myself, which I was still like very good at, and I would play out in anxiety or depression and stuff like that. Or it would be at other people. It wasn't really much in the family because it didn't get me anywhere in the family. I lost every time I got angry in the family, I lost. And even if I got angry at home, it was usually coming from a bad place, coming from a place of frustration. Or do you know people pleasers? I was a people pleaser. And so people pleasers say yes for everything and then say no for the stupidest thing, like you took me hanky or you drank a drop on me, but can of Coke. And then they explode. But what that explosion is 6 months, 6 days, 6 weeks of saying yes to stuff they wanted to say no to, allowing people to walk all over the boundaries, and then eventually they can't cope with it anymore. I am definitely digressing here because there's a boundary issue in this as well. But how do you manage that when you're angry at God? How do you manage it when you're angry with other people? I think there's a part of it where we need to just stop. And no one else can do this for us, Tim. They really can't. It's really useful if you have someone you can talk it through with that can manage your anger. But finding people who can sit with your anger and realize you're not angry with them, you're just angry and you need somewhere to work it through, is not always the easiest thing in the world. Because anger is very scary. And angry people can be scary. Even if you're not angry at me, just being around you when you're angry, it's going to be uncomfortable, if not scary. So there's not that many out there. But the Holy Spirit's not afraid of our anger. God's not afraid of our anger. And sitting with Him and having that rant and roaring and shouting and whatever else you may need to do, I would suggest that is a great place to, not your first stop. Your first stop is to calm down. And I don't mean just someone saying to you, calm down when you're angry is about as useful as, like, do you know
It's
what I
as
mean?
useful as putting petrol on a fire, really, isn't
You know what I mean? It's like,
it?
calm down. Have you had
Oh,
the idea? That just gives it, right?
yeah.
But someone just saying to you, just take a breath. I see you're angry. One of the things as well, if you ever did customer services training, one of the things they'll tell you if you're dealing with an angry customer is to go, I see you're angry. Let me try and help you. Because we use anger to get what we want. But if someone is saying they see what we want without us needing to be angry, it kind of takes, it's like, oh crap. In a marriage, in our marriage, what I had to learn was when Anne was angry, she was angry because I hurt her or something else had happened. If I could move, I used to meet anger with anger. If I could learn to move past the anger and look for the hurt, and I could deal with the hurt, the anger wasn't necessary anymore. Because the anger is your way of trying to get what you want. If that man could have just gave let you in to have a tin of paint, even when you were walking away to your car storming, if he had said to you, ah, listen, come on here, hurry, get your can of paint, I have it for you. There was no reason for you to be angry anymore. Would have still took you a few minutes to calm down, but the anger, the reason for it would have been gone. The hurt would have been gone. Excuse me. So what I think we need to do with God is we need to go to the hurt. We need to go to God with the, like, I'm really disappointed here. You've let me down. And we need to be honest with him. And not with the religious mumbo jumbo, you know what I mean, that we go with, and oh God of the universe and all this rubbish. We need to go and kind of go, Jesus, where are you? I'm like, hello, I'm here. I'm in a jock. Where do you said you'd never leave me or forsake me? Can't see you anywhere. Where are you? Like, as you would if you like, if I was supposed to be there with you, doing something, painting your room, and I didn't turn up, what would you be saying to me? Say, you wouldn't be going, oh Brian, my good and trusted friend, how are you today? You'd be going, Brian, where the bloody hell are you? You said you'd be here painting the wall with me. And that's the way, like. So you may have people ringing in there and go, that fella is blaspheming and he's heresy and all the rest of it. I don't think God's afraid of our anger. Read the Psalms. David was fairly like, There's a line in one of them there where you're saying, like, I hope they die and you pull every one of their teeth out, kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? They die roaring. They want
Yeah,
people
there was a
over them people.
transparency, and I think that's the
And honesty.
important part in this, is that anger is what it is. Our feelings are what they are. They're neither right nor wrong. They just are what they are. And when we can acknowledge that we're feeling a certain way, then we can begin to move on with it. And so if we're angry at God, God's bigger than our anger. And we can say, hey, God, I'm really angry right now.
I don't think God is up in heaven quaking in his boots because Brian's angry. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's more likely going to Jesus. Look at your man off again. Do you know what I mean? Like, wait and we show him what we're really up to. But there is that, like, one stop long enough to take a breath. Okay. If I'm angry with God, my beef is with God. What I need to try and be careful of is I'm not taking it out on his people. Now, the day I was angry with God, I was taking it out on my pastor. I was like, you're his representative. I can't get my hands on him. You're going to get this. And I gave it the earful. Now, praise God, the man had the patience to take it and walk around. And you know what was really funny? At the very end of our whole conversation, nothing had been solved. And all he said to me was, you're going to church tomorrow? And suddenly, I
Brilliant.
wanted to tell him I was going to burn his church down with him in it. You know, that kind of a way. It was like, yeah, I suppose I will. So, where else? Do you know where Peter goes? Where else do we go? Like, you know, if you're angry at God, if I'm angry at people, I can go to God about them people. I'm angry at God, where do I go? Yeah, I know there's three persons in one, but you can't really go to Jesus giving out about his dad. It doesn't it that way? Or the Holy Spirit. So I think, take a breath. Understand that you're in fight or flight. Understand that you're angry about something specific and move as much as is possible. We've talked about this before. When we go into fight or flight, the thinking part of our brain just closes down, the sensible bit. Okay. So, the day after, whenever you got your paint and you got that room painted, the sensible bit of your head came back online. Okay. And you're able to sit there then and rationalize and go, well, maybe that man had, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other. But in the height of fight or flight, you're not thinking about any of that stuff. You're only thinking, I want, I'm not getting, bleh.
Guillotine.
Right? So take a step back, breathe. If you have someone you can talk to, it can be really beneficial. If you haven't, write. Journal is this nice word that everyone says. Get a scrap of paper and write honestly. Okay? Right, I'm sick of you, God. I'm sick of trying, or whatever it is. Just be real honest in that letter and get all the venom you can out onto that page and just let it roar. Okay. And when you're finished doing that, have a cup of tea and then get another piece of paper and write another letter and lash it out on that one too. And I would suggest you do four of them. Maybe have a cup of tea in between each one and a cake if you can, whatever. Okay. Give yourself a little break and then do it again. Generally speaking, and we do, like, I've done this, I've done a lot of anger management classes with groups years ago. Generally speaking, by the time people get to writing the fourth account of what has happened, their anger is well dissipated. They begin to see the context of what's happening and they begin to see their part in it. And if I can see my part in any situation, that gives me power. Because that's the bit I can do something about. You were powerless when he said no to you. He took all of your power away. All of your agency was gone. You're not getting in. No, I don't care. Have your little strop. No. You're not getting what you want. Go on home. Leave me alone. Okay. Every bit of power inside of you as a human being has just been taken away because you are on a mission. I'm doing this. Boom, it's gone. Now, that can be you getting a can of paint. It can be a parent trying to get a child to bed. It can be somebody trying to get a job done in work. It can be somebody in roads, in traffic. I need to get home. I want to get home. The stupid traffic is driving me mad. And they end up with road rage. It's like, this is what I want. I'm not getting what I want. My go-to is I'm getting angry. We can learn a new go-to. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay. My behaviors are a result of my thoughts. I have learned behaviors, but just because I have learned behaviors doesn't mean they can't be changed. I learned how to drive without ever doing driving lessons. Official driving lessons. Are you with me? I had friends and I had a brother who brought me out for a half an hour. I bought a car. He brought me out for a half an hour. I had a motorbike before that, so I knew the basics of how clutches and brakes and all that worked. Just had to transfer that to my feet. And I kind of had a good idea of the rules of the road, whether I kept them or not was immaterial, but I had a good idea. He brought me out for a half an hour. I learned how to drive. I pushed my hands over the steering and do all the things you're not supposed to do, ride the clutch, all of that kind of stuff. Now, this is like, fortunately, the Lord was good to me. I never had to do a test. I got one of them free licenses they gave out in the 80s. Okay. But if I had to do a test, I would have to relearn how to drive properly. I know loads of people who have done that. They learned how to drive badly. Then they wanted to do a test. They got lessons. They learned how to do it properly. It's harder to relearn. It's harder to let go of what we know and move into doing something new, but it's possible. Does how are we for time? Are we okay if I keep talking?
Keep going.
Okay. There's four stages of knowing something. We used to do this when we were doing coaching. There's unconscious competence, all right? So let me tell you the four stages. There's unconscious incompetence, there's conscious incompetence, there's information, and then there becomes conscious competence and then unconscious competence. Let me give you an example. I don't know how to drive, I don't have a car, and I don't care. Unconscious incompetence. It's no issue for me, right? No, I don't know how to drive and I don't care about it. I had a friend like that when we were 16, 17. He won a car in a raffle, believe it or not, right? 17. He suddenly became conscious of his incompetence as a driver. You with me? Stage three, he went and got lessons. Stage four, and we'll all remember this, anyone who drives. Do you remember when you used to drive and you had white knuckles and no one was allowed to put the radio on and they couldn't talk to you? And like, I'm driving. You know that kind of a way? That's conscious competence. I know how to do it, but I have to keep fully conscious on this. Then I get to the stage where I have an unconscious competence. This is when I'm driving down the road, radio's blaring, the window's open, I'm rolling the cigarette, clattering the kids in the back, but I'm doing a roll while I'm still driving and I'm braking without even thinking about it. As you do now, your foot's on the brake and your head hasn't even told it. You're unconsciously competent at driving. For a lot of us, we're unconsciously competent at being angry. And it's about taking the steps back and processing and learning in little situations. Learn when you're slightly annoyed about something. Then think, okay, so what's going on for me here? Why have I got annoyed here? And can I think differently about this situation without being in a full-blown rage or being really angry like you were the other night? There will be other things that will just annoy you, but you're not going to shout about them or dance about them or whatever. You're just a bit annoyed. It's little things. They got full fat milk instead of slim no milk. Do you know what I mean? Something silly. Doesn't matter. Or for me, it'd be the other way around. Came in here with skinny milk. I wouldn't be happy. But like, does that make sense? So them little things, then it's like, so can I think about this any other way? Because if being angry is a learned behavior that I've picked up as a child, it's been reinforced through life because when I got angry before I got what I wanted. If you've been angry and you never got what you wanted, you won't stay being angry because you look for a different way to get it. You've raised kids. Okay. Do you remember when they wanted something and you said no? They tried crying. They tried being angry. They tried being depressed and sulking. They tried all they could, manipulating you, sucking up to you, doing whatever they could. They'd try everything in the. And if they know being angry gets them what they want, then they'd stay angry. If they know being angry doesn't get them what they want, it just makes it worse. They stop being angry and they figure out a different way to get you. And then they get what they want that way. We're all the same. Anger paid off in the past, doesn't pay off for me now. Doesn't mean I still don't feel angry, but I have had to learn being angry and acting out just actually, in most cases, for me, has made life a lot worse. Now, do I still get angry? Yes. Do I still make mistakes and act out? Yes. Sometimes really, really bad consequences of it. You asked me about being angry at God. If I'm being really honest with you, Tim, I don't think I've been angry at God for a long time. I've certainly been disappointed and not sure about, and lost probably more than angry with him, but
Okay.
lost with him and not sure where I'm supposed to be going or what I'm supposed to be doing. But when I know when I was angry with him, stopping and taking a breath and sitting back and actually trying to figure out what he was doing was really useful for me. That's not going to work for everybody. We all need to find our own path with Jesus. We all need to find our own way of processing what's happening in our own lives, because every one of our lives is different. We all have a relationship with Jesus, but we all walk it in our own individual ways. We're all coming with our own backgrounds, our own hurts, hang-ups, and do you know what I mean, habits, and whatever way you were raised in a family is going to impact how you see Jesus and the Father in heaven, and how you deal with the things that's happening in this life. And whether you blame, did you grow up in a family where you blamed your parents for everything that went wrong? Well, then you're going to blame God for everything that goes wrong. Do you know what I think is really funny is the times I used to blame God for stuff that was going wrong, and he'd be going, "But I didn't do that, Brian. You did that." Do you know? And he didn't. Do you know? And then I blamed the devil, and he'd even be going, "I didn't do it either. Don't be blaming me." It's like that's not helpful to any of us. And anger always has a blame attached to it. We're always blaming someone else for how we feel, and we're giving all of our power away. I'm giving you the buttons to control my life, and I'm saying, "Press that button." And when you press that button, I'll be angry for you. There was I can't remember even who it was one time, and I was talking about my family of origin. We were really good at pressing each other's buttons. You know when you grow up, you know how to wind each other up, okay? Oh, I had a brilliant situation anyway, and I was talking to somebody, and they said to me, "So why'd you do that?" I said, "They pushed my buttons," and they went, "But they're your buttons. Why are you letting them push them?" And I had no answer for it.
Great.
I had no answer for it. It was like, "Oh crap, they are my buttons. Why am I letting them push it?" So there's a whole thing around personal responsibility, stepping into that space and going, "I am responsible for who I am, what I do, how I do it. It's not about blame, but it's about power." And I think God gives us so much power. And we have a choice whether we use it for his glory and our betterment, or we let other people take that power and run off
Brilliant.
vehicles.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. That's been so helpful, so insightful. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Take a breath. Find someone to talk to. Take your power back. Trust God.
Amen.
There we go. Brilliant. Hey, God bless you, my friend. Lovely to have you on the show. And we look forward to having you back for another Mind Matters. No doubt I'll have something that will happen in my life between now and the next time that we chat that I will be able to bring to the conversation. Hey, God bless you, my friend. See you soon.
Thanks a lot, Tim. God bless. Bye bye.
Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.